Today we're looking at Isaiah chapter 51. Open your Bibles to chapter 51. We saw last time in Isaiah chapter 50 the sufferings and rejection of Messiah. For example, verse 6, I gave my back to those who strike me, my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation or shame and spitting. And so we get the rejection of Christ by the people of Israel. Then in chapter 51, our chapter today, as we look at this, it's a prophecy about the future restoration of Israel. And that's the amazing thing. That God is not done with the people of Israel. He'll restore them in the millennial kingdom in the earth in a future day. And then as we come down to chapter 51, actually, chapter 51 really continues on into chapter 52. It's all one prophecy about the future blessing of Israel. Well, bear in mind, and we've said this many times, is that the chapter and verse divisions in our Bibles are not inspired. They were added much later for convenience to locate verses. So chapter 52, right down including to verse 12, is all really, you might say, chapter 51, or part of the prophecy of chapter 51. And then verse 13, 14, and 15 of Isaiah 52 is really part of Isaiah 53, the great prophecy of Messiah, his sufferings, his rejection, his sufferings under the hand of God, the wrath of God upon him for sin, his death, his resurrection, and his blessing to those who should believe in him. So the great prophecy of Messiah. So this prophecy in chapter 51 and on into chapter 52, verse 1 to 12, about the future restoration of Israel is sort of a result of the sufferings and rejection of Messiah, just as it is for our own salvation. But I'm only going to look at chapter 51 today because there's a fair amount of material here. And so it starts out with the call of Father Abraham, the beginning of the nation. It says in verse 1, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and from the quarry, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who gave you birth, or who gave birth to you in pain. But when he was but one, I called him. Then I blessed him and multiplied him. And so the nation of Israel began, we may say, in the call of Father Abraham. It began with one person. And of course, you know, he gave birth to Isaac, and Isaac gave birth to Jacob, and Jacob to Joseph, and they were a nation in Egypt eventually, and then a great nation there, and then delivered from Egypt and brought through the Red Sea into the Promised Land. So it's looking to the beginning, but the point here is that it started with one. And the covenant promise was given to Abraham. And this future blessing of Israel is based on that promise, that covenant promise. Just as the promise of salvation by faith, of righteousness through faith, is given to us believing Gentiles. It all starts with Abraham. Before the law ever came in, it was the promise. Paul develops this in the Epistle to the Galatians. We can't take the time to go into it. But it all started with one. And we make this application, you know, that all the great works in the church, over the church history, the history of the church, all the revivals, recoveries, reformations, any great work of God always started with an individual. Someone who, and we see this in the Bible as well, you know, whether it's a Gideon or a Josiah or a Hezekiah, a person who had devoted himself to the Lord and who had committed himself to live before God and to seek his face. And then God blessed that individual and multiplied the individual. This is what happens here. Then I blessed him and multiplied him. And so this is an application that we can make to ourselves if we devote ourselves to the Lord and honor him and seek his face and study his word and make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit, that God can bless and use that and multiply our little offerings of service to be much greater than we ourselves could have done, like the little loaves and fishes that the lad gave to the Lord, and he multiplied and blessed. And so as we move on in our chapter, we see that the promise comes out in verse 3, that he would indeed, it says verse 3, the Lord will comfort Zion, and he will comfort all her waste places, all of the people of Israel, and her wilderness he will make like Eden. In other words, the promise is the future restoration of Israel and Zion, particularly here, Jerusalem, will be like the Garden of Eden, like paradise. And this is a promise about the millennial earth and the kingdom of God, which will begin, of course, with the people of Israel. That will be the center of this millennial kingdom, of this millennial earth, of a great, the desert. It will be like a desert. Will be like the garden of the Lord, it says in verse 3. And her desert, like the garden of the Lord, joy and gladness will be found on her, thanksgiving and the sound of melody. And when you think of all the suffering that the people of Israel have suffered down through the ages, that will be changed to a sound of thanksgiving and melody. And of course, again, we can apply it to ourselves as Christians, is that, when we get into heaven, it'll be a song and a sound of melody and thanksgiving for the Lord's deliverance, and that the sorrow has come to an end. And then we get more as we go on, verse 4 to 8, about the future restoration of Israel, how it will extend out to the nations. You see, it says, "Pay attention to me, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice as a light for the peoples." Peoples, plural here, is the nations. "My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth. My arms will judge the peoples, the nations, the coastlands will wait for me. And for my arm, they will wait expectantly." The blessing that will first come to Israel will extend out to all the nations of the earth, and they will wait for the law of the Lord. There's many prophecies that deal with this. Isaiah chapter 2, for example, we've already looked at that. But my salvation will be forever, he says at the end of verse 6. But that's in contrast to the created heavens and earth, which will pass away. Look at verse 6. "For the sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die in like manner." And the apostle quotes this in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. Only there, it's in contrast with Christ, with Messiah. He will not fail. He will not change. He's forever the same. But heaven and earth will pass away. Just like his word, heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my word will never pass away. But here it's not himself and it's not his word, but rather it's the work that he has accomplished in his people, the righteousness and salvation that he's given. Notice at verse 6, "But my salvation will be forever and my righteousness will not wane." Okay, that the work that he's done for the people of Israel initially, or primarily as we see in this passage, but also for us who have believed on Christ, that work of righteousness, that he has reckoned us righteous, declared us righteous, given us an eternal salvation that can never fail, never pass away. It's eternal, right? That's the idea of eternal. It doesn't fail, it doesn't pass away. And we have it forever. And then it continues on, telling them in verse 7 and 8, not to fear the face of man. Man is just like their revilings. Don't be dismayed at their revilings. Man is just like a garment or a piece of wool that a moth or a grub eats, right? They will fail, they will perish, they're nothing. Do not be afraid of them. But my righteousness will be forever and my salvation to all generations. That's the end of verse 8, okay? And then in verse 9, we get the call for them to awake. Awake, awake, it's double. And God will awaken his people, will awaken the people of Israel to future day. We get that repeated in verse 17. In the King James, it's exactly the same, awake, awake, but it's actually slightly different in the Hebrew. It's rouse yourself, or wake yourself up. The ESV has wake yourself up. I think the Darby has arouse yourself, arouse yourself. Actually, we get it also in chapter 52, verse 1, awake, awake, which is an identical expression to verse 9. And this is a confirmation, of course, that chapter 52 is really a continuation, of course, of chapter 51 until we get to verse 13, at least. So it's looking to the future when Israel will be awakened, just like when they were in Babylon, and God stirred the spirit of some to return to Zion and rebuild the temple. Well, in a future day, God will awaken them up, okay? And in verse 12 to verse 16, it speaks of the Lord who had made the heavens and the foundations of the earth, not to fear their oppressors and so on. In fact, he says about their oppressors and about the nations, okay, that he is actually the one who has used them. the one who is over them. Look at verse 15. For I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea and its waves roar. Okay, this roaring of the waves and the stirring up the sea, it's symbolical of the nations. We get this in Revelation chapter 13, you know, the beast of the sea, or Revelation chapter 17, the harlot that sat on the sea, on many waters, the waters being there, the multitudes of the peoples. God uses the nations and their turbulence and so on for his purposes. He's over it. And you see that in verse 15 at the very end, where it says at the end of that, the Lord of hosts is his name, Yahweh Sabaoth, the one who is Jehovah, who is over all the hosts of heaven and all the armies of the heaven and all the nations of the earth. He's in control. Our God is in control, you see. And so he even uses the nations, even those who are trying to do their own thing, their own will, think that they lord it over God's people. Well, God uses them for the blessing of his people, even for their discipline and for their blessing. And then verse 18 to 20, it shows that this cup of suffering in the history of Israel, God had put the cup of suffering in their hand. You know, they had said, let his blood be upon us and on our children. They had rejected Messiah. And so verse 17 speaks of the chalice of reeling in this translation, New American Standard I'm reading from. The chalice of reeling you have drained to the dregs. You drank it all. It's really a cup of reeling. It's like a cup of wine that a person drinks and becomes drunk. And the drunk is staggering. It's really a picture of God's judgment. The person is staggering and doesn't know where he's going or what he's doing. God's judgment is upon him. And this has been the history of Israel. The things, it says in verse 19, these two things have befallen you. Who will mourn for you? Devastation, destruction, famine, sword. All these things have happened to Israel. And at the end of verse 20, it says, this has been the rebuke of God. God has rebuked them for their sins. But this cup of trembling, or this cup of this chalice of reeling, will be taken from their hand eventually and given into the hand of the Gentile nations. It will be their turn. And that's the great tribulation, okay? The day of the Lord. And this is verse 21 to the end of the chapter, verse 23, where the cup of trembling, this chalice of reeling, is given into the hand of the Gentiles. Let's read it. Verse 21. Therefore, please hear this, you afflicted, and you who are drunk, but not with wine. That is, he's speaking to his people who have been afflicted. Thus says the Lord, even your God, who contends for his people. Behold, I have taken out of your hand the cup of reeling, or the cup of trembling, the chalice of my anger. You will never drink it again. And I will put it into the hand of your tormentors, who have said to you, lie down, that we may walk over you. You know, they will tread down the people of Israel. And even in the great tribulation, this will continue. But then God will take it out of their hand and put it into the hand of the nations. Okay, and they will no longer tread them down. You have even been made your back like the ground and like the street for those who walk over it. Now, this is continued on in chapter 52, but we have to end it here. But this cup of trembling, we see the same thing in Zechariah chapter 12, where the Lord says in verse 1, behold, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling, or a cup of trembling to all the peoples, that is to all the nations round, when they siege Jerusalem, when they set a siege against Jerusalem and against Judah. And it will come about in that day, that's in the future, in that day, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all peoples, and all who lift it will be severely injured. That is, all the nations will be gathered around about Jerusalem, and the judgment will be upon them because of what they've done to the people of Israel. Well, may the Lord bless you today. There is a verse I sort of missed here in our chapter. We should just go back to Isaiah chapter 51. There's a verse here I missed, and I'm going to read it. Verse 11, so the ransom of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, and everlasting joy will be upon their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. That's the future of Israel, a blessing in the millennial earth in the kingdom of God. May you be encouraged in the word today. Amen.